If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
All right, we've all been there, and it happened to Andy yesterday. You almost made out with a coworker, right?
I did. It happened. Well, almost. So we were at, a photo shoot yesterday, right? And it was one of our coworkers. She came up to me, and I was happy with a hug or a hearty handshake, but I could see she was going past the line for a hug, so I had to commit. So I, for the French kissing, the French greeting on the cheek, right? So
French greeting.
Yeah, French greeting. Yeah. I don't know, it's French kissing. So I went, she was facing me. I went right and she went left. So we both kind of went the same direction.
Whoa.
So we were about like a finger length away from full on makeout session.
Yeah.
And it was just awkward. I kind of owned it. I said, listen, I'm still kind of figuring out the French greeting. I never know which way to go. Because that was really what it came down to. I don't know which way to go first. Do I go left? Do I go right? I just never know.
Everybody's been there. It happens. It's going to happen again to you. I promise you that.
Yeah.
But it is tough. And we've spoken about this before because also, who do you kiss? You know what I mean? And when do you kiss? So we don't kiss every time we come into work.
No.
Obviously. But I remember one night we went out, we had some sort of like social event and Sam was there and there were some other like ladies there. So Sam went in and kissed them and then he kissed me. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Because I see.
I didn't want to make you feel left out.
I think that was the right thing to do in the situation. Right. It was nice.
Yeah.
But like what situations actually call for this sort of greeting?
I think the occasion is part of it. I mean, the mornings, nobody really wants to be that close to anyone else's mouth.
Plus, if you're seeing someone every day at the same time, like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Know.
There's no element of surprise. But I think when you dress up, you know, and you're out.
So when you like what I'm wearing that you'll go, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the occasion. If you're at a nice function, you know, you just feel like it's appropriate to formally greet someone, I suppose.
Yeah, but for that event that Nikki's talking about, you had just seen Nikki like 5 hours prior, like the same day.
I know. It was a gratuitous kiss, but you know what?
It meant nothing.
I think it was the polite thing to do.
Right.
I do. I understand that. It's tough. And when you go away from Quebec, obviously you're not kissing anymore.
Oh,
you're hugging.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will often go in, like I'll visit friends in Toronto and I'll go in and I'm still in the kissing mind frame and they go in for the hug. So same thing. It's awkward.
I drop the kiss when I leave Quebec. It's not worth the gamble. People are caught off guard.
Yeah.
And you know, and we do two kisses. If anything, outside Quebec, they usually do one kiss.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't go in for the one kiss. That's like, I'm just not used to it. You know, I wouldn't know.
Never
what's
one.
Sudden.
In some places they do three kisses. I
right?
think in Spain, they go all the way
right.
with three. But everybody has definitely been there. I don't think, because I was like, what side do I normally go in for first? And I couldn't remember what side it is. It's just, you kind of get used to it.
I don't think there is a side. I think that you just sort of like, based on who you're approaching, you sort of just decide in the moment, okay, you're going this way, I'm committing this way.
Oh, no, there is a side.
Really?
There's an official side that you're supposed to be kissing first.
This will help greatly.
Yeah. I gotta try to remember this.
I don't necessarily take note of it, but I think it becomes a dance later on. So
right.
you get a little more used to it. So you have fewer near makeout sessions, okay? We've all been there though,
yeah.
right? We've all been there and the conversation often comes up. We've had those awkward situations for sure. And a lot of people want to know, are you supposed to go to the left or are you supposed to go to the right? You know, I feel like I mostly do it right now, though I will have some awkward situations for sure, especially when I leave the province and go in for a kiss and people just want to hug and I'm like, sorry. And they're like, oh, I didn't know we were making out right now.
I almost feel like it depends on the angle that you're coming in at. You know, sometimes
you
surprise someone, like you come up on their side and you just sort of like go with whatever cheek's closest first, you know?
I just do it based on feeling now. Like I said, you guys laughed at me, but I called it kind of a dance, but there actually is a cheek that you're supposed to kiss first.
Really?
And Emmy, you said you know the answer, right?
Right.
Now, is it your right or their right?
Oh, yeah.
My right.
Your right.
So my left. If we're facing each other.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I'm confused.
No, I'm confused too.
Her right,
no.
so
okay,
if she
no,
goes
no,
right,
no,
I
no,
go
no.
left.
Okay, go ahead, Emmy.
Exactly. Everybody's right.
Everybody's
no.
right.
We go red.
What?
So I go.
So you're saying move your head to the right?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be the left cheek. And that, according to my research, is correct. It would be the left cheek's touch first and then the right cheek's.
Okay.
Okay? First left.
Your right, their left.
No, it's not. If it's your left, it's...
You go to...
No, if it's your left cheek, it's also their left cheek, okay? So you move your head to the right, which means your left cheeks will be touching.
Right, okay.
And then you move your head to the left, and then your right cheeks will be touching.
So each person needs to go to their right, their own individual right.
Move their head to the right, exactly. Okay. Emmy, you are correct. Congratulations. Congratulations. Okay, here's a question, because I've heard people complain about this before when I go in for the kiss. I've heard guys say, you didn't even kiss me. Like, you didn't even... Do you actually, like, put your lips on people's cheeks, or do you just, like, touch the cheek?
I guess you can do both, but usually it's a real kiss. You put your lips to the person's cheek.
Oh, so you have to work on this. I'm going to get my lipstick on them.
Yeah, that's right.
So many rules. Can't we just do a hearty high five?
Fist bump.
I've had some moments where I kissed some girl's hair because they were going for the...
Oh, yeah.
And I was going for the kiss. And I've had awkward moments.
Yummy hairspray.
We've all been there. Emmy, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Do you guys plant the lips right on the cheek, or is it more of a cheek-to-cheek thing?
Cheek-to-cheek. I'm always apprehensive, especially when kissing a girl because of the makeup. You know, you don't want to mess up the makeup. You don't want to, you know, kiss the hair accidentally. Yeah. There's so many factors. I just sort of almost air kiss.
I get like maybe 10-20% of my lips will touch their cheekbone. Like the left side of my lips will touch, but most of my lips are kissing the air.
You'll offend some people. They're going to be like, why aren't your lips touching my cheek?
Oh, if they want a real kiss, I'll go in there. I'm just waiting for the cue.
Okay, and if you're wondering, Andy, when to go for the kiss, it's just whenever you would normally go for the hug.
When in doubt, go for the kiss.
I don't think I'm ready to initiate yet. I'm not there yet. I need someone to initiate with me. I'm just not comfortable yet.
You want to practice?
Yeah.
There will be some people also that you'll actually just continue to hug. Before I left on vacation, it was my birthday. I was leaving for a week. You guys got me a cake and sang happy birthday to me. So I gave Andy a hug before I left. It called for a hug. So I think we'll just continue to hug.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we won't
no kissing.
I didn't get anything. What did I get?
You took like half the cake.
All right, that's good enough, I guess.
All right, it's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Thank you so much for all of the texts. This is a good point. Someone said I'm Italian and I give two kisses a lot. A way to remember it is you go to the right first, like shaking hands. You shake your hand with the right, you move to the right.
Okay.
He's writing this down. He's got a lot to remember.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, would you be able to handle living with your partner part-time or not living with them at all, just staying in your own separate residences? You can text us this morning at 92925. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, and this is what Gwyneth Paltrow does with her boyfriend. They got married in September. Sorry, it's her husband now. They got married in September, and they only live together 4 nights a week. Huh. And she says that's working out really well for them. And I actually just met a woman last week who said she does the same thing, that her and her boyfriend each have their own homes. They've got kids in their own homes, and their kids live close to the school. They both like their homes, their friends, their communities. And so every other week, they spend like 4 days together, and every other weekend they spend together. And she says that's why they're still together after all these years. She swears it's because they live separately.
I mean, that's unfortunate that they have to live separately to be happy together. Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a weird thing. To me, this feels like just that typical Hollywood A-lister that does something different that wouldn't work for most of the population, right? Hollywood, they're doing something eccentric, a little bit crazy. This is also coming from Gwyneth Paltrow, who runs Goop, where shampoo runs you $150 for a small bottle.
She's definitely living in her own fantasy land. Yeah. But
this is becoming more and more popular too and trendy. It's called LAT relationships, living apart together.
I mean, it's nice if you can afford to have two places to have, like, you know, like your second home to be able to go and take some time off with. But I think I would entertain the idea. Mm. I like it. I mean, you get sick of anyone that you live in close quarters with after a while.
Of course.
I think just having a couple days off is healthy for a relationship. It gives you some perspective, and hopefully you always come back to your partner missing them after those 2 days, right? So you have that time to rekindle.
It refuels things. Some fuel to the fire, I think.
But, you know, the question comes up, like, do you want to keep tabs as to what your partner's doing when you're not there? If they're going out, all of a sudden, if they're not obliged to be with you for 2 days a week and it's carte blanche, I mean, that's cause for concern too.
Mm-hmm. I would sign up for this so quickly. I would. I like my condo. I love my friends. I do. I can see how in certain situations it could be tough. I think trust would have to be really strong in that relationship for sure. But I also think it could be good because it wouldn't force me to stay in a relationship. Like, we've all been there when you're sort of like too far into a relationship and you're like, well, who gets the couch and who gets the condo? I'm going to stay.
But that's so non-committal. It means you always have one foot out the door.
You've always got an escape plan,
exit plan. No, it's not an escape plan. It's just knowing that if it doesn't work out, right. you can go on with your life. You right. don't. There's not a whole lot of drama to sort yeah. of clean up.
I guess. But things get complicated. I mean, if you have a mortgage with this person and you're yeah. paying a house together, I mean, there are certain finances and things that are binding you.
I mean, I did it for a month and a half when I first moved to Montreal. Kelly wasn't able to get to Montreal yet. She had to stay back in Toronto. And for the first, you know, week, 2 weeks, it was really cool. And then after a while...
I need you.
After a while, I just started to feel lonely, especially at night, right? And going back on the weekends, when I'd see her on the weekends, it was awesome. But Monday to Friday, it was just like, you know, come Wednesday, it was like, all right, what do I do tonight? Once again, it's just a night of me staying in, watching TV, and that's awesome.
You know,
but
you can go out and do things, right? Like, I'm not even, there's a
there.
Whole world out there.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just, I want to do things with my wife,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I want to go out and do things. I want to do something with my partner.
But tonight, you guys were away for weeks at a time, but tonight you said she's going out with some work friends, and you can't wait to be at home and to yeah. cook the food you want.
And
so
to not
imagine,
do anything.
Imagine having that, like, one night a week, if you could afford it. Like,
But again, even that, it's only for a few hours. She's still coming home, right? She's still going to be home by 10 p.m. or so.
You're not sleeping alone.
Yeah, you know?
But what does that mean? Like, can you call the person? You know, yes. does that mean that, yes. like, all rules are...
You can call them. Yes, Sam. There's no real rules like that.
So you just know they're apart, but, like, they're only a phone call away.
Do they go over and visit each other on the nights that they are apart? Because that'd be weird.
Is it, like, a no-visitation policy?
Yeah.
Like,
you could if you like. I don't think there are really, like, strict rules. I think what it comes down to is, in every relationship, every person requires a different amount of independence and codependence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for some people who would like a little bit more independence than codependence in the relationship, I can see how this would work really well for them.
I like it because when I'm getting pressured to pop the question to my girlfriend, mm-hmm. I like bringing up these examples. You know, well, if it's good enough for Gwyneth Paltrow to not live with her boyfriend full time, you know, then what's the rush for me?
I like having that's what she wants to hear.
Well, I mean, at least
the thing is, that is what Josie wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Josie would be the first one to say, okay, sign me up for this also.
Exactly.
She would. You guys have a lot of independence in your relationship.
We do. And, you know, we wouldn't want to have it in any other way. It's tough to sort of trailblaze in that sense and to do things that are outside of the norm.
Because people judge you.
People aren't used to it. And it's new to them. It's new to us. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you feel comfortable and it's still working, don't try and reinvent the wheel, you know?
And just, I know, and I don't like the idea that this is, people are saying that's not a relationship, it's a part-time relationship. I'm like, it's just a different relationship than
exactly,
you're used to.
Exactly.
It doesn't make
Teach
it not
their
a
own.
Relationship. All right, so Jessica, you said your mom is actually in an LAT or a living apart relationship, right?
I guess. I never really knew it had a name, but she lives in her apartment. Her boyfriend has his condo, and they've been doing that for 7 years. They're happy. So I guess it works for them.
It works really well for them. You said the only thing that comes up is sort of maybe the finances, like how much they could save if they live together.
Well, that's it. I don't think they talk about that, but I worry as her daughter. I'm thinking, you know, she's renting and she's getting older. And as she gets older, how is she going to keep paying for the bills if she has to retire if she's by herself?
It's simple. She's going to move in with you. That's how she's going to do it.
Oh, 100%. That's her plan.
Oh,
I'm like,
great.
Okay, so now it's getting 100%. I'm like, you know, it would be nice if maybe you moved in with him and like you could have... No. She's going to move in with us, I'm sure.
Would you consider doing this yourself, being in this kind of relationship?
I have a kid, a 2-year-old, so I don't think I could. I would want my husband there to be able to help me out on the days that she's having her meltdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Her terrible twos. There's no way I'd want to be on my own on that 24/7.
But remember, if you lived apart, there would be some days where you'd be on your own without the kid and he'd be with the kid too.
Oh, fair enough. I don't know.
That sounds kind of nice, right?
It does. Maybe a couple days a week.
I love it. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a good one.
All right, we're getting texts. So many texts this morning at 92925. This one says, Nikki, you should do like me and date a pilot. It's kind of like a living
practice. Yeah, they're never around. Good call.
You don't want to know what they're doing on their off days, though.
They're flying planes, Sam.
Right.
They're getting people from point A to point B safely.
Responsible professionals.
That's all they're doing.
I don't need to put that in my head or anybody else's.
This text says, oh my God, I would never be able to. My boyfriend and I haven't not slept in the same bed for the past 3 years out of the 8 years that we've been together. He's my best friend, and we still give each other space to do our own thing, and that's important to do. Always.
This woman's been in a relationship with a guy for 16 years and has never lived together. She says, raising my son, taking care of my mother, etc. Life may have gotten in the way, and now he's retired, and I'm still working, but he's right next to me. He has his own place. He's my best friend. It can work if the lives are different.
That's it, if it's a person. The moral of the story, I guess, you do you, right?
That's right.
That's it. That is
unapologetically.
Unapologetically, you do, Sam. Those are our words of wisdom.
There you go.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So, yeah. yesterday we were leaving the station, and we were walking into our parking garage, and I watched Sam. He didn't, his sleeves weren't super long. They weren't like covering his hand.
Yeah.
So I watched him like go out of his way to really pull down his sleeve so that he, and he looked a little silly, like his shoulder was showing. He looked a little silly so that he could cover his hand with his sleeve while he turned the doorknob because he didn't want to touch the doorknob.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I've never seen anyone clean that doorknob. I've been using it for years, and I don't think I'm crazy for being worried about what bacteria, parasite, I don't know what.
Parasite.
I don't know what is living on that doorknob, but why am I going to take the chance and put my bare hands, which I will then go in my car and smudge on my steering wheel and on my gear shifter and then come home and bring them home? I don't know. To me, I just have a thing with touching anything public.
Anything. What else? Like railings, for instance?
Railings. Right. The escalator railings. Can't do it.
Really?
When I'm in the washroom, after I've washed my hands, I can't close the faucets in the sink because my hands are clean.
You know, in a way, I agree with you.
Okay.
I will try not to touch these things, of course, as well. I'll use paper towel to turn off the faucet when I'm in the washroom. If I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt, I'll definitely use it to turn the doorknob as well. However, I think like when you're going to extreme measures, like that stress is going to kill you before the bacteria will.
Yeah.
Like the stress that he was clearly under. You know, I'm not going to make myself like look super ridiculous to save that. You know,
it's not a big deal in my mind. It's a black and white. If I have to open up a door, I just don't touch it. It's as simple as that.
You wait for somebody else to open it for you.
Or that, yeah.
What about when you're wearing a t-shirt?
I'll use like the bottom of my shirt. I know it's a bit ridiculous. But if they were cleaned every day and like disinfected, it's one thing, but you know that they're not.
Yeah, but then you go home and you have that shirt on, you put that, you know, you touch your couch or whatever, then the bacteria goes from your shirt to your couch. And if it's not on your hands, it's going to be somewhere else anyway.
I know, that's a good point.
What do you refuse to touch in person, in public? You can text us at 92925. Somebody said interact machine. Will you refuse to touch that also?
Yeah, I touch it with my knuckles.
With your knuckles?
To dial the digits, like to enter your PIN code. Yeah.
But then you've got dirty knuckles.
Well, that's okay. It's better than having on the palm of your hand because that's the part that you're touching your face with, and you know,
I guess. But then you know, at some point during the day, your knuckle's going to touch the palm of your hand. Like I just hold my hand sometimes.
I wash my hands before I do that.
Oh.
Yeah, and I won't touch other people's phones either. People's phones gross me out.
Oh my gosh, Andy, you'll touch whatever.
I'm pretty much the opposite. I'll touch anything, and I'll enjoy it. I mean, I know that I probably shouldn't. I probably should take more care, but I don't know. I can't be bothered. It's not like I'm turning a door handle then licking my hand or anything like that.
You are inadvertently.
Like, I'll take many precautions, right? Like, if I turn a doorknob, I'm not going to go and, if my eye's itchy, rub my eye with my, I'm going to, you know, turn my hand and rub my eye with my knuckle instead, right? But, I mean, I don't know. It's...
I think what I do, like, you just make a bit of an effort, but you're not going to like kill yourself over trying to do it. You know, people are saying the toilet handle. Oh no, I kick the toilet flusher.
Okay. See, we all draw the line somewhere.
I use my foot for the, exactly. Someone said you should be carrying wipes if you're that obsessive.
Oh, that's next level.
You'd rather like take off your shirt so that you can use that.
Yes. I'm not carrying wipes on me.
A lot of people have been texting us is anything in the metro. And you've always said this. You don't sit down in the metro.
Yeah, and the turnstiles, like, forget it. I will never touch the turnstile. I'll use my hip to go through. I'll work my core. I will not hold on to any railing or a handle.
Pole.
Yeah, I will stand there and risk falling over before I have to touch anything or grab anything on.
Who's that idiot trying to balance on that? No, he just won't touch anything.
Someone said Sam is a germaphobe. Like, you'd think, but he doesn't shower that often. Is the only one.
Right? I'm okay with my own bacteria. It's just other people.
Oh, lucky us.
The only thing I can kind of relate to, and like I said, I take a little bit of caution when it comes to these things, is I'm really particular about when I get into bed how clean my feet are. Like, if I was wearing flip-flops that day, I have to wash my feet before I get into bed. If I was wearing sandals.
See, that to me is a little bit out there.
Oh, okay.
No, it is. It's your feet. Just wipe them down. I don't know.
Well, I mean, for me, I don't even wash my feet, so you can imagine what my bed is like.
Yes. All right.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.